This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Biden says U.S. companies are queuing up to invest in Northern Ireland. So what it's like for companies that are already here? Live from Belfast, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. U.S. firms are waiting to pump billions of dollars of cash into the Northern Ireland economy if there's more political stability here. That's according to President Biden, who is visiting the island of Ireland to mark the 25 years since the Good Friday Agreement. So what kind of investment does the U.S. already have here, and does it go both ways? You may have noticed I wasn't here yesterday. My colleague Rahul Tandon kindly stood in for me. That's because I was in Northern Ireland finding out the answers to those questions.
Over the last decade, American companies have put nearly $2 billion into the Northern Ireland economy and created 13,000 jobs, according to the UK government. I'm on a harbour overlooking the Irish Sea in the town of Kilkeel to visit one, Collins Aerospace.
So I'm Stuart McKay, I'm Senior Director of Operations. Collins Aerospace in Kilkeel have been manufacturing aircraft seats here for about 56 years.
And you have the flag outside, you know, the American flag, so you know it's an American company. I mean, is it important as well that you have an American company investing in Northern Ireland?
The connection between the island of Ireland and the US is obviously hugely strong over the last probably centuries, even decades, even centuries. And it's a really important thing for us.
So how many people are employed here?
There's about 800 people employed in Kilkeel. The vast majority of which come from about 20 minutes drive from this facility, so hence the big community feel that we get here.
When it comes to the economic relationship between the US and Northern Ireland, investment goes both ways. After a drive along the coast, I'm in Newry, a city right over the border. My next stop is FD Technologies, one of Northern Ireland's biggest success stories that expanded into the US. And I'm here to meet David Collins, Managing Director of FD Technologies.
We sort of began our sort of American ventures by taking some of our Northern Irish grads and talent and moving them out to America to service our clients. And from there, it's grown. So the makeup of the business has changed quite a lot over the years. And that's heavily sort of US dollar orientated. So about 40% of our business today is US related.
One part of the cross-border trade that has benefited from an open border is grocery shopping. These shoppers told me they've travelled here from the Republic of Ireland because it's cheaper.
Some things, like the toiletries, washing powder and vegetables and things like that, yeah.
We took the ferry here.
And have you noticed things are a lot cheaper?
Yeah, they are a lot cheaper, like for the parking as well.
Well, I come up to Newry every 2 months because I have braces that I come up here to get because it's so much cheaper than down south. Do a little bit of shopping when we're up here, especially because the pound is quite weak at the moment, so we get a lot more bang for our buck up here.
Tony McKeown from the Newry Chamber of Commerce says shoppers from the south contribute a significant amount to the local economy.
We reckon there's probably between 15% of the traffic that would come in here to the Butter Crane on the quays would be southern registration vehicles, and they would probably even spend a little bit more. So they're spending in these places because they're up here, they can spend a bit more. They're up here for a destination shop.
Right, I'd better stock up on my toiletries then.
Now, I'm back. Let's do the numbers. European stocks are edging higher today and set for their longest weekly gaining streak since early December, as analysts figure the Federal Reserve is going to ease off on hiking interest rates. We've seen the price of gold soar recently as people have been turning to it as a safe investment amid the banking crisis. Now people are turning their heads to silver. Spot silver, which refers to the price you can buy it for immediate delivery, reached a one-year high of more than $25 on Thursday. So what's going on? The BBC's Felicity Anna Hanna asked Rena O'Connell from the London Bullion Market Association.
All sorts of things. The most important link here is silver's almost inextricable relationship with gold. That goes back a very, very long time, literally thousands of years, when both of them have been legal tender. And although silver is predominantly an industrial metal, because it has this historical linkage with gold and also the jewellery and silverware side of things, when gold is moving, silver tends to move as well. It's a smaller market. It tends to be much more volatile. So when gold goes up by a certain amount, silver will almost invariably go up by more. And by the same token, it works conversely as well when the two are coming down. So that's what's been attracting the attention, is that the price action, because gold has been improving on the back originally of interest rate exercises, but now more importantly, the stresses in the banking system. And gold has a mystique and allure about it, which sometimes puts people off investing, whereas silver is much more down to earth, if you like. It's much more approachable. So as far as retail investors are concerned, it tends quite often to be the preferred metal of the two.
It's the more approachable metal. I'm quite interested, though, because gold is very much a market for jewellery makers, isn't it? Whereas silver has a lot more different uses. It's in demand across a lot of different sectors.
Absolutely it is. And demand in two particularly important areas is growing rapidly and has a long-term bullish outlook. And that is for solar power and photovoltaic cells, and particularly also for uses in the electrification of the vehicle fleet.
And from silver to silva, as the Brazilian President Lula da Silva is meeting the Chinese leader Xi Jinping today as he continues his official visit to China. The Brazilian delegation says it expects the two leaders to sign 20 trade agreements. That's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to Ollie Dalbert-Hansen for producing. Our editor is Joe Critcher. I'm Leanna Byrne in Belfast. Have a great weekend and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.